Good morning and welcome to A Time of Hope. Thank you for listening to this program with highlights of our services last Sunday. We'd also like to invite you to be with us live and in person this morning. It's the day after the 4th of July of this very special year with our 250th anniversary. Our service at 10:30 at 101 North Oak is going to begin with a Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag and to the Christian flag. We'll have patriotic music, and Pastor Matheny's sermon is going to be Freedom in Christ. So it promises to be a great service. And if you don't have a church home to go to this morning, come and go to church with us. We'd be glad to see you. Our Time of Hope program begins with something a little unusual for us, a little chorus of praise that we're singing a cappella. I hope you enjoy that and the rest of our program.
The Lord is our strength and our shield. He is our refuge and our guide.
Though the storms of life swirl and the winds of change howl, we look to the heavens.
The Lord is with us, a very present help in times of trouble.
Special music is Colton Folks singing that gospel song, The Lighthouse.
The lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see. And the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead me o'er. If it wasn't for that old lighthouse, my ship would sail no more. Everybody that lives around us says, tear that lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail this way anymore. Ain't no use in it standing round. But then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light, oh, the light from that old lighthouse that stands up there on a hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shone a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? Everybody that lives around us says, go on and tear that lighthouse down. You know those big ships They don't sail this way anymore. Ain't no use of it standing round. Oh, but then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light, oh, the light from that old lighthouse that stands up there on the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shone a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, then where would this ship be? Oh, I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shone a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, then where would this ship be?
Mary Berger reads the morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Matheny's sermon, Prophets Today.
Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from Psalm 72, verses 1 and 2, and then continuing from 11 to 20. In times of trouble, God is with His people. I pray to You, Lord God, and I beg You to listen. In days filled with trouble, I search for You. And at night, I tirelessly lift my hands in prayer, refusing comfort. Our Lord, I will remember the things You have done, Your miracles of long ago. I will think about each one of Your mighty deeds. Everything You do is right, and no other God compares with You. You alone work miracles, and You have let nations see Your mighty power. With Your own arm, You rescued Your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The ocean looked at You, God, and it trembled deep down with fear. Water flowed from the clouds. Thunder was heard above as Your arrows of lightning flashed about. Your thunder roared like chariots' wheels. The world was made bright by lightning, and all the earth trembled. You walked through the water of the mighty sea, but your footprints were never seen. You guided Your people like a flock of sheep, and You chose Moses and Aaron to be their leaders. Our second reading comes from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and continuing with 6 through 14. The Lord takes Elijah away. Not long before the Lord took Elijah up into heaven in a strong wind, Elijah and Elisha were leaving Gilgad. Elijah said to Elisha, "The Lord wants me to go to Bethel, but you must stay here." Elisha replied, "I swear by the living Lord and by your own life that I will stay with you no matter what." and he went with Elijah to Bethel. Elijah then said to Elisha, "Now the Lord wants me to go to the Jordan River, but you must stay here." Elisha replied, "I swear by the living Lord and by your own life that I will never leave you." So the two of them walked on together. 50 prophets followed Elijah and Elisha from Jericho, then stood at a distance and watched as the two men walked toward the river. When they got there, Elijah took off his coat, then he rolled it up and struck the water with it. At once, a path opened up through the river, and the two of them walked across on dry ground. After they had reached the other side, Elijah said, "Elisha, the Lord will soon take me away. What can I do for you before that happens?" Elisha answered, "Please give me twice as much of your power as you give the other prophets, so I can be the one who takes your place as their leader." "It won't be easy," Elijah answered. "It can happen only if you see me as I am being taken away." Elijah and Elisha were walking along and talking when suddenly there appeared between them a flaming chariot pulled by fiery horses. Right away, a strong wind took Elijah up into heaven. Elisha saw this and shouted, "Israel's cavalry and chariots have taken my master away." After Elijah had gone, Elisha tore his clothes in sorrow. Elijah's coat had fallen off, so Elisha picked it up and walked back to the Jordan River. He struck the water with the coat and wondered, "Will the Lord perform miracles for me as he did for Elijah?" As soon as Elisha did this, a dry path opened up through the water, and he walked across. This concludes our reading.
Thank you, Mary. I think some of you know that Donna and I spent some of our years in the Pentecostal tradition. I don't know how much you know about the Pentecostal tradition. It's the modern development and understanding of the tradition started here in America in 1908 in a little church in Los Angeles, California. And a little African-American pastor was there. Somehow, they prayed and God came and they began to manifest the different spiritual gifts that you find in 1 Corinthians. And it spread from there across the United States and the world. Today, the Pentecostal faith is the fastest growing Christian group in America and the world. South America, India, in South Korea. It's just so different than our churches. They have churches in South Korea that have 100,000 people in them. And that's a lot of people. One of the reasons why it's always drawn people is it's a real participatory type of faith. You know, when the people come, I mean, they sing and they shout and they say amen and they speak in tongues and just all kinds of spiritual manifestations. And people are welcome to do that. It's not just the pastor, but the people in the congregation, they're welcome to do it. And people can stand up and give a prophecy or something, and it doesn't, it's not out of place, and people accept it. I remember in the early days, they used to call people brother and sister. They call me brother Mike and brother and sister, but it's kind of a whole different world if you haven't ever been involved in that. And one of the special things that happened to me was when I'm in Bible college. During my high school years and stuff, I had wanted to receive the gift of tongues, and that is part of that experience. The Assemblies of God have as one of their statements of faith the initial physical evidence of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. That's written down, and they believe that. Not everybody believes that. The charismatic movement, which came out of more of the Episcopal Catholic tradition, they accept the spiritual gifts, but they don't believe that you have to speak in tongues. So anyway, I used to pray that I could, speak in tongues. I just earnestly sought that. I prayed and prayed, and nothing happened. So I was in Bible college, and one day David Wilkerson came to speak. Some of you are old enough to know who David Wilkerson is. He's the founder of Teen Challenge, started on the streets of Brooklyn, New York, to reach gang members and drug addicts. He started that ministry, and it spread around the world. And he's a dynamic speaker. We always enjoyed having him be on campus. So he came that day, and it never failed when he came. It just seemed like God's presence came in a powerful way. It just affected everyone. And as they often did there, they asked everybody to come down front to pray. So the kids all came down. And I remember the campus pastor came by me and he placed his hands on my head. And it seemed like waves of liquid love flowed through my body. I couldn't explain it. And I began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave me utterance. I have never had that experience since then, and I may never. But it really affected my life and helped me to be open to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit works in our lives. I never speak out of the Old Testament. Well, I wouldn't say never, but very seldom. There's just so much in the New Testament that we need to look at. But today's story of Elijah and Elisha caught my attention. It's just such a great story of Elijah, who was a great spokesman for God. He spoke against the idol worship of Baal and all these different things. He was very courageous. He was persecuted by Jezebel and other people, but he was faithful to speak forth what God had him speak. And then at the end of his life, it came to the time where he was passing on his mantle of leadership to another person, Elisha. And it must have been quite a scene to have that chariot of fire come down out of the sky and take Elijah away. I don't know if you ever thought about it, but Elijah's the only other person in the Bible that was ever taken to heaven without ever dying. The other person was Enoch. We don't know much about him. It just says Enoch was gone. God took him. And so Elisha's left to carry on, and he's able to do it. Because, if you remember, he asked Elijah, please give me a double portion of your spirit. I need a double portion of your leadership, what you have, so I can lead. And he was able to receive that gift and went on to become a real faithful prophet of God. If you look into the New Testament, you'll see that the word prophet and prophecies is mentioned a lot of times, and we don't have time to look at all those times, but right away in the book of Acts, Luke says, records these words. The sermon was given. He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all the earth and to all the ends of the earth." And in other places in the scripture, it talks about prophecy. And so you have to think this morning about what is a prophet? And do we have prophets today? I think that we have had prophets in our background. I think Dr. Martin Luther King was a prophet to the people of America to combat racism and intolerance. Billy Graham was a wonderful prophet who spoke God's love to millions of people around the world. There's probably other prophets that we could name and maybe know of that speak God's words so that people might know God's will and experience God's love. I have to tell you that there are a lot of false prophets. Just like there were false prophets in the Old Testament, there's false prophets in our world too, in different ways. I'm thinking of a couple of men in our day, or in the past and now in the present. Brigham Young was the founder of the Mormon Church. He said God gave him these golden plates, and it was God's message to this new church. Well, you know, we don't believe that, but it became a tremendous, large religion. Sungmin Moo, I can never say his name, was the founder of the Moonies. Do you remember them years ago on the streets of our country? They were dedicated to him, and he became very popular and very powerful. They had Moony people all over the world, and he became wealthy, and he finally was convicted of tax evasion and had to go to prison. He died in 2012, and I have not heard or seen ever any more Moonies. He was famous for mass weddings, where they would match people who didn't even know each other in marriage. Sometimes there'd be several thousand couples all being wed together at one time. It was a kind of bizarre that it happened that way. But we need to know there's a difference between a prophet and prophecy. In the New Testament, it doesn't talk that much about prophets, but it does talk a lot about prophecies. And the difference is that a prophet is giving forth the message that God has given him to share. These are words that hopefully come from God, and he gives them. A prophecy is an expression of what God is saying at this moment in time, in a church service, in a place where Christians are worshiping. A prophecy can be given, and it is to encourage and help people who are there in worship. It's interesting that Paul, as he talks about it in Corinthians, always said that if someone gives a message in tongues, you should always have an interpretation. He said, so that people can understand it. He also said to the people at Corinth, when you're there for worship, if all you do is speak in tongues, how's that going to help people that come that don't know what you're talking about and what you're saying? What we have done, Don and I have discovered, is that in the modern day church, tongues are used more for prayer, personal prayer. Remember in Romans where Paul said, sometimes we have such burdens, sometimes we don't know how to pray. We just don't know how to pray. And he says, that's when the Spirit comes and prays through us. The Spirit somehow takes what we are feeling and what we're longing for, and it prays. So that's one of the benefits that people have found. To be more practical to our situation, the Holy Spirit wants to come and help us use spiritual gifts. I'm not talking about vocal gifts like tongues or prophecy. He's wanting to help us with very practical, helpful gifts in the life of the church. He mentions several of these in Romans 12, where he says, some of the gifts are serving, teaching, encouraging, giving. Pastors love that gift. People have for giving. Leadership, hospitality. And I always want to lift up hospitality because it's such a powerful tool of building friendships and relationships with other people when we have them in our homes, when we are with them in some way, to express hospitality, God's love, in different ways. Don and I have mentioned, that it's, we just don't see hospitality as much as we used to, for whatever reason, because it's so important. One of the things that's been real helpful over the years is when people take spiritual gift surveys, they make several surveys that you can take. And as you work through that, it begins to help you to see, well, what is it that God has gifted me with that I could help other people with? And there's just, it's not big flashy things. It's, being able to visit with people. It's being able to share food. It's being able to give somebody a lift somewhere. All kinds of practical things that people can do. Of course, we sure appreciate those who can teach, who can sing. Those are wonderful gifts to the church, and they truly are gifts. The one thing that always comes to mind when I think about spiritual gifts is something that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 13. Chapter 13 in Corinthians, it's a chapter on love. It's usually just used as wedding services, things like that. But here's what Paul says. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and can fashion all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. That's the key to sharing spiritual gifts is love for God, love for others. And I just pray that we'll have a double portion of God's Spirit in each of our lives so that we can be and share all that God has done for us. Amen.